Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we come to the final study, which we have entitled Seven Figures Depicting or Portraying the Christian, as seen in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Those of you who have listened to the broadcast through this series will remember that we've seen the Christian as a son in verses 1 and 2, as a soldier, verses 3 and 4, as an athlete, verse 5, as a farmer, verse 6, as a workman, verse 17, and as a vessel, verses 20 and 21. And today on the broadcast, we want to see the Christian as a servant, verses 24 and 25 of this second chapter of 2 Timothy. And I think probably that is one of the most precious aspects of our Christian service. We are a servant of the Lord. These seven figures depict the Christian in the various ministries, the various ways which he does minister to the world and to the church around him. It's most instructive, and there is so much for us to learn and emulate as we become involved in the service of the Lord. Now today we wish to consider particularly verses 24 and 25 concerning that servant. We read actually in verse 23, which is an introduction to verses 24 and 25, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but this must be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Now immediately here we see the servant of the Lord is indeed in an area where he is trying to convince people of their need of our Lord Jesus Christ. And some of them oppose themselves. They do not wish to be told that they're sinners. They do not wish to be told that they need our Lord Jesus Christ in any sense. They feel they are capable of taking care of their own problems, and they feel that religion, quote-unquote, is for women and children. Now, the servant of the Lord here, as we have some of the qualifications of a servant of the Lord. First of all, he must not strive. We read in Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, and these words are from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ himself, speaking to his disciples. He says, "The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple to be as his master, and the servant as his Lord." Now, it is no difficulty, as far as I'm concerned, in being a servant of the Lord when I remember that my Lord himself was indeed a servant. Isaiah, in the Old Testament, wrote prophetically of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he said these words in Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 3. "Behold my servant, whom I uphold." Now this has to be the Father that's speaking. I think you recognize that from the text. God the Father. "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Nor shall he cry," he shall not cry rather, "nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench, and he shall bring forth judgment unto truth." Now the question might be fairly asked, how do we know that Isaiah here is speaking about our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, there's a very good reason. In the 12th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the Lord quotes this portion from Isaiah, almost word by word, word for word, almost verbatim, and he applies it to himself. The Lord makes application of this to himself. Now notice, please, "a bruised reed shall he not break, And a smoking flax shall he not quench. The smoking flax, of course, would be the lamp that is almost going out because it's run out of oil. And sometimes I think that our zeal for the Lord is like the smoking flax. All the oil, all the Spirit of God has run out, and we're just smoking. But the Lord doesn't quench the flax. He doesn't stop it from smoking. And the bruised reed it shall not break. And I'll tell you, I think sometimes we're just about as rigid in our ambitions for the Lord, just about as faithful, just about as solid as the reed, the hollow reed. But the Lord does not break the bruised reed. He lets it continue on. Now the servant of the Lord must not strive, because our Lord Jesus Christ did not strive in his ministry down here. And it's enough for us to be like our Lord Jesus Christ himself, to be like him. He said that to his own disciples, the disciples not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple to be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. Now this, as we read it here in the second chapter of 2 Timothy, are really the qualifications of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the apostle wants those qualifications, wants those attributes seen in you and me. Well, first of all, of course, these words were addressed to Timothy, but they were preserved in the scripture for your benefit and for my benefit. Now let's look at what's expected of the servant of the Lord. The servant of the Lord must not strive. The servant of the Lord must be gentle. The servant of the Lord must be apt to teach. The servant of the Lord must be patient, verse 24. The servant of the Lord must realize that only God can give repentance. We read, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. These wonderful characteristics are seen in our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about the gentleness of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you please. The Lord prayed when he was laid out upon the cross, and being nailed to that cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He did not rise in his own cause. He did not rise to defend himself. He let them, he permitted his creature to nail the Creator to the cross. And he did not rebuke them. They were being told, they were doing what they were told to do. And the Lord says, "Father, forgive them." Now the Lord must be apt to teach. He must be apt to teach because his Lord was apt to teach. And after all, to be a servant of the Lord is a high calling. The Lord Jesus himself, as we read there in Isaiah, was a servant of the Lord. Are we better than he? It's enough that we be like our master. It's enough that we be like our Lord. The Christian should not be an arrogant person. He should be like our Lord Jesus Christ. I think sometimes, and it was true at Corinth, that they were living like kings. And Paul had to rebuke them. Now, I know it's a high honor to be a Christian. It's a high honor to be a servant of the Lord. It's a high honor to be the servant of our own nation as an ambassador or in any other capacity which we serve, and the president of the nation serves. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ was that servant, and he was apt to teach. That means that you and I, as a servant of the Lord, should be apt to teach. We should know what the Bible says, and we should understand it, and we should be able to connote that teaching to others. Remember when we studied to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are to know this Bible. We are to be able to handle it. We are able to be able to expound it, to explain it to others. I think probably the greatest commendium of teachings in the whole of all written men's writings of men is the Sermon on the Mount. The greatest commendium of teachings is that wonderful Sermon on the Mount. That Sermon on the Mount rivals anything. It goes far beyond the law. It goes right and reaches the conscience of those Pharisees that took pride in how they kept the law. But the Lord went farther than the law. And according to the prophet, he magnified the law and made it honorable. He said, "Ye have heard that it is written, but I say unto you," and oh, his standards are high. He was apt to teach, and the servant of the Lord should be apt to teach too. Now, he should be patient. Now, his teachings will often run counter to his listeners' philosophy. No, he's not to argue. He's not to raise his voice. He's simply to let the Word of God stand on its own merits. I think sometimes when we raise our voices in the matter of teaching the Word of God, we weaken our own cause immediately. The Word of God is such that it stands on its own merit. What we are to do is to teach it so that others may come to know what the Bible says. Now, the servant of the Lord must realize that only God can give repentance. You notice, please, verse 24 and 25, the servant of the Lord must not strive. He must not raise his voice. He must not contend. He must just preach the word, and the word is its own message. But be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. I think that teaching that is spoken quietly in calmness. Calmness because we can be calm. Calmness of what we know our message brings to others. I think when that is exposed, or when a person is exposed to that, it does something to him. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And then we come to that portion of Scripture, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Satan is the author of all false doctrine. We read that in the fourth chapter of 1 Timothy. That false doctrines are the work of demons, the doctrines of demons. And you and I have the pure word of God to give to others, and that word indeed is powerful. When it's spoken in calmness, in meekness, the word is its own messenger. It's its own power. Use it. It's the sword of the Lord. Use it. The word of God is powerful, and it will help men to recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who would lie to them. Oh, the wonders of being a servant of the Lord, the dignity of it. May we never fail to realize our privilege. Father, bless the word to our hearts today. Help us to be good servants. In Christ's name, amen.